Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and the faithfulness for all generations. Good morning and welcome. We are celebrating a double Thanksgiving today, in a way. We are giving thanks for the bounty of the earth, for the food that sustains us, but we're also giving thanks for the occasion of installing a new pastor who will be with us and guide us in the time to come. May you rejoice and feel God's blessing in all those things. Now, I'd like to introduce the guests, and just to make sure, Marvin Thiessen and his wife, they're not guests anymore. But Rick Neufeld, who represents the Mennonite Church Manitoba, sorry, not Manitoba Conference anymore. Welcome here. He will be part of the installation and serve us today with the word. So welcome in our midst. And are there any other guests here this morning? Oh, okay. I will keep this service moving today. So I'm going to quickly go to the children's story at this time. Children, come on up.
Good morning. No? Oh, well. I'll talk loud. Okay, is that better? Is that working now? I can't tell. Okay, does anyone know what that is? Sophia, what is it? It's a crown, right? What kind of people wear crowns? Queens and kings. Awesome. So, today the Bible verses that the grown-ups are going to be talking about are talking about kings and queens to start with. I know something about Queen Elizabeth that I thought was maybe pretty interesting. Somebody told me that when she buys new shoes, there's a person in England that has exactly the same size feet as her, and they wear her shoes for a couple of weeks to make them soft. And then Queen Elizabeth wears the shoes, so she never gets sore feet. So how many of you would like to be a king or a queen and have all those little problems of your life just not be there? Yeah. Yeah, me too. But Jesus was a king, right? When he was in heaven, he was a king. And you know what he did that was kind of amazing? He put his crown to the side. And he said, I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to be a regular person. Do you think there are very many kings and queens that would do that nowadays? They would just say, no, I don't want somebody to wear my shoes. I'm just going to be like a regular person. Do you think people do that? Do you? Not very many. So, we should be like Jesus and say that we want to serve other people. Today in our church, while you're downstairs at Sunday school, we are inviting Marv, Pastor Marv, to be our new pastor. So he is going to be not our king, but our servant. But But, poor Marv, he's thinking, ah! We also are promising to be a servant to him. So, if we are all serving each other, that is the way a church is supposed to work. So, he needs our help probably just as much or maybe even more than we need his help. So, can we bow for prayer, please? Jesus, thank you that you came to be our servant, to show us how to live full and rich lives. Amen. You guys can go to Sunday school. Bye.
I would invite everybody to later read all the announcements that are in the bulletin. They are very important things. A couple changes. Jacob Dick, the husband of Olga, I hear has been transferred to the hospital last night. So I couldn't find out which hospital it is. Does anybody know? So I hear he is in the hospital. Please keep them in your prayers as well. The condolences go out to Carol and Gary Martins and their extended family on the death of 2 aunts of Carol, Mary Dick and Lena McChelson, both from Chilliwack, and we want to keep the Martinses and their extended family in our prayers as well. I have another one to add that is not in the bulletin. Dietrich and Anna Klassen. No?
Funk.
Ooh. Dietrich and Anna Funk would like to announce that Anna's oldest brother, Simon Kauenhoven, passed away on September 30th. After being in hospital for 2 weeks, the funeral is today in Paraguay. And they thank you for your prayers. Does anybody want to share anything else? The time is now. Then we'll go to sing the song, hymn number 50 in the hymnal worship book, Praise the Lord, 1 and 2.
So if you're able and you would like to stand and sing heartily this beautiful new opening song, Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, verse 1 and 2.
All the angels praise, okay. All the souls together.
Let us pray. Lord, you are our God. This we confess and hold on to. You are the one who has created us, who has loved us, and continues to do so in spite of everything. You are the one that looks after our needs as we look after each other's needs. You are the one who forgives as we forgive each other. And you are one who invites us to life eternal. So in life and death, in sickness and in health, we want to praise you. And we ask that you be with all those who mourn and grieve the loss of loved ones, that you are with those who are ill or suffering from other problems in their life. Let them know that you are near. Let us know that we are there to support and to uphold and to console. And now, Lord, we give you thanks for the beauty and the bounty of this earth. We give you thanks for the church and all it brings to us and all it celebrates within us and all those problems that we endure. May you be glorified in this day in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the offering, we'll sing number 98, verse 1, 2, and 3, please.
At this time, I would ask that Marvin and Cheryl will join me up here. Today, we celebrate not only that God has brought Marvin Thiessen to us to to walk with us as our pastor, but that Marvin and Cheryl have asked to become members of our church. And I might add, they are supported in their desire by their home church, home street, Mennonite Church, who transferred their membership to us. Wanting to join, or being in that state, means that you want to be part of us. It means that you see God at work here at North Cadon Mennonite Church and want to join us as the people of God. But we also have a part to play in this. We recognize that as people join our church, we are committing ourselves to support them through our prayers, our words, and our actions. Before we ask both Marvin and Cheryl to share their faith stories, it is important that we renew our own commitment to follow as Christ's disciples. It is this declaring community that we invite them to join. So will you please read with me in your insert. We commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, through whom God has brought peace to the world, and in whose name we share the work of reconciliation. We commit ourselves to the way of the cross, living lives of contentment, self-denial, and prayer. We commit ourselves to love each other, serving the church, and sharing our time, talents, and possessions. We commit ourselves to care for the world, bringing good news to the poor, setting free the oppressed, and proclaiming Jesus as liberator and Lord. In this commitment, we find joy, peace, and new life. Becoming a member of a church is a statement that we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Becoming a member says that we are willing to share what God has given us with the church, and that we are open to receive what others have to offer. It says we are willing to be accountable to others and to care for them as best we can. It is a statement that we are willing to give and receive forgiveness, counsel, and a sense of belonging. Marv and Cheryl, we invite you now to share a little bit of your faith journey with our church family.
Sure. Can people hear me? Yep. Okay. Good morning. I'm Cheryl. I'm happy to be here. I'm feeling a little nervous. I was born to a Ukrainian Catholic mother and an Irish Protestant father, just so you know where I come from. I grew up in East Kildonan, not very far from here, and I was baptized in the United Church, Wesley United, which is now Emmanuel United on Kimberley, also not far from here. I attended Sunday school till I was in my middle teens, and then I basically kind of walked away from the church. I didn't make any formal statement, I just left. And I don't have any real memory of my time at the church. I don't know if it had an impact on me, but if it did, I don't recall. So that was interesting when I look back now. I started university, and when I was 22, my mother died of cancer. And a couple years after that, I was diagnosed with panic disorder and depression. And so those two really hard things made me start searching, like as an adult on my own. And it was really, there was a longing that I felt. There was like this yearning, and I felt something was missing, and I didn't know what, and I wandered around. I went to yoga classes and meditation groups and read some New Age books, thinking that maybe that's where I would find what I was looking for, but what I was looking for wasn't there. When I was in my 30s, I found a church called Unity, which they call themselves practical Christians. After being at the Mennonite Church, I don't think that it's the same kind of Christianity, but that church supported me for a number of years, and I felt comforted and welcomed, and some of the words that they spoke made sense to me. I got married my husband said, he was a recovering Catholic and didn't want anything to do with church. He didn't want any religion or church Bibles in our house, none of that stuff, so we didn't have that. That was when I was 32. When I was 35, I gave birth to my only son, Anton. And while I was pregnant, my father died of cancer. So another hard step and another event that made me long for something more. And I think that through all those years, I believed in a God, and I didn't really know him very well, but I don't think I would have made it through all those hard passages. I don't think it was my strength that took me through all that. It was the strength of God, and I think God gave me the courage and the wisdom to do what I needed to do and to move on. And I did believe in a God, but I didn't have a church family, and I didn't have a lot of knowledge. I'd never read the Bible. Toward the end of my marriage, my husband became emotionally abusive, and that was probably the most difficult time of my life. And although I married for life and I took marriage very seriously, I had to make the decision to break up the family and to leave. I felt like my spirit was dying in that relationship, and so I left. And that's when, once I got settled down and got myself on my feet, that's when the real kind of search began again. And those feelings of longing came up again, that yearning for something that I still couldn't put my finger on. And to make a long story shorter, through work, I crossed paths with Marv. And Marv was always so calm and content and peaceful. And it was just, I don't know if I said this to him or just thought it, but I thought, I want that. I want what he has. And I asked him, what is it? What is it that makes you feel so at peace and so content? And he said, it's his faith. And I asked him where he went to church, and I asked him if I could come to his church. And I did, and I never left. It was Home Street, and the moment I walked in, I felt, this sounds so corny because it's Home Street on Home Street, I felt like I was at home. I felt like I had come home. I know. But it was really an amazing feeling, the very first time that I felt. I didn't know all the, I don't know the Bible very well. I'm still reading. I'm still learning. But in my heart, it felt like where I needed to be and where I wanted to be. And about 6 months after, I had gone through a little pre-baptism class, and I was baptized as an adult I think it was early 2014. And this friendship became more serious, and we were married on November 1st of 2014. And so church is a really big part of my life. I believe in God. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I still am learning about who Jesus is and learning his stories, but I feel that hole is filled now, that place that I've been. No more. I don't feel like I have to run around looking for anything anymore. I feel like I've found what I've been looking for, and I'm happy to be at this church. I look forward to meeting everyone here and to finding out how I can serve and what my gifts are, and that's all. Thank you.
Well, I would suspect that most of you have heard me tell my story. It feels like I've done it a bunch of times already, the faith story kind of thing. So I thought I would just try to think of a few significant points along life where where my faith has been developed. And I suppose I got to begin with childhood, with being born into the family of parents who were committed followers of Jesus and who were committed to teaching their children good moral practice and careful obedience to Jesus, and who loved us. They were farming in the Interlake region, and then my father became a pastor, and so I grew up in the home of a pastor and a Bible college professor, and there was lots of instruction. It was good. I knew stuff that many people my age didn't. And so that was a part of faith development. I was, after the life went through various geographical places, and when I was 13, we ended up in Blumenort, Manitoba, where we lived while my father was a professor at Steinbach Bible College. And at the Blumenort Evangelical Mennonite Church, at the time I was in grade 9, I thought that it was the time to declare my faith publicly and to be baptized. And so I went through the preparation that the church there did and was baptized. This was important to me. I recall feeling that this was a very significant moment in my faith journey. It feels awfully young now, looking back at it. But I know how significant it felt then. And through the high school and then college years, alongside of just having fun and playing sports and being a little crazy sometimes, there was always a desire and a commitment to be a follower of Jesus. And as some leadership gifts seemed to be developing, that kind of was a part of that high school and college experience. And marriage took place shortly after college, after a few years. And this was another place where faith, I think, was pretty significant. We decided that we would respond to an invitation and join the Evangelical Mennonite Conference's Board of Missions in a church planting and youth outreach kind of role in a Spanish church in El Paso, Texas. And so, listening to what we felt was this call, we said goodbye to friends and family and moved a long way away to a foreign place and said we're willing to serve. And that has continued to be my desire. After a few years, we returned to Manitoba, and I said yes to an invitation to be an associate pastor in the Evangelical Mennonite Church in Landmark, Manitoba. And 11 years there provided lots of richness, a place where our four children began their growth as human beings. Another pastoral call came from First Mennonite Church in Calgary. Once again, a change of location, a place of newness, of mystery, of saying to God, we commit this to you. We're willing to go to somewhere new, uproot our family, do something different. And God was there, walking with us through that. 9 years into that or so, I mean, this began earlier than that, but my wife said, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be in this church. I don't want to be in this marriage. This is not who I am and not what I love and who I love, and this is done. And that was, there'd been some hard times earlier in life, but nothing quite compared with that. Lots of crying out to God. And so the other thoughts I had about faith development are kind of positive and God is there, and this was an awfully negative place and time. But God was close. There was lots of plea and lots of cry from me, and God was present walking with me. And I give thanks for that. Now it's been 7 years since I have served as a pastor. Somebody wondered if those were seven lean years or fat years, referring to the Egyptian experience in the time of Joseph in Genesis. And there's been some of both. And I have, along the way, hoped that God might bring me together with the congregation that was looking for a pastor. So after 7 years, that has happened. And so God continues to walk with me. I'm convinced that Jesus, God come to earth in human form, is the one that I wish to follow in life. And that as I join you in this congregation, is my desire to model that, to encourage that, and to walk alongside of you in our pursuit of following Jesus.
As we listen to your story
of God at work in your life, and have come to know you a little bit, we have time to get to know you better in the time to come. We recognize that we are fellow travelers in God's story. We walk together as God's people, forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ, brought together by God's love and His grace. And I ask you now, do you wish to be received as members in this congregation? And are you willing, with God's help, to share the gifts God has given you with us in our common mission as servants of Jesus Christ?
I do.
I will then ask to respond to their commitment. Marvin and Cheryl have witnessed to their faith in Jesus Christ and offered themselves as a companion in our obedience to Christ. It is our privilege and joy to welcome them into our family of faith.
Christ has received us.
We open ourselves to fellowship with you in worship, study, service, and discipline. We pledge our willingness to give and to receive counsel, to offer and accept forgiveness. We accept you as partners, both in the care of our spiritual family and in our mission to the world. And now I pronounce you members of North Cologne Mennonite Church. Thank you.
I wasn't sure I was part of a wedding or whether I'm coming to an installation. All is good, though, however. It is a joy for me to join with you in this time of celebration. May the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to be with us as we gather, as we serve, and as we join together in this morning service. And I'm delighted to share in this day of celebration with you as my role as Director of Leadership Ministries of Mennonite Church Manitoba. This indeed is a new page. I don't know if a new chapter, but at least a new page in your life. And I'm delightful to join you in it. And Marvin, I'm also grateful for the opportunity to join with you, to share with you probably over the last year and a half or so that we got to know each other, and especially as you discern God's Spirit in your life and where God was calling you to. And as we joined in conversation together, I learned quickly of your love for the church, your love for Jesus Christ, and your love to serve. And that journey then has brought you and Cheryl to this place, to these people, North Kildonan Mennonite Church. And I certainly, and we certainly pray that your ministry will be blessed here with joy, with grace, and the assurance of God's faithful presence in your life. This morning's text is taken from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let me read from verse 3 and reading to the end of verse 11. Philippians 2 verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's Word. Every few years or so, our public schools test students at certain grades by way of a standardized test that checks for learning that takes place along a child's education. And if there are teachers in our midst here, you will well know what I'm talking about. This is an opportunity to assess and to evaluate and compare how students in Manitoba compare to other regions in our country and even in our world. And although there's some long debate about whether this kind of standardized testing really is accurate to the learning that actually takes place or happens, nonetheless, it does remain a tool for assessing the learning that takes place in a child's life at particular times. And as I thought about that, and I thought about today, I wondered what that might look like if we were to implement that kind of assessment tool for the church. Perhaps, Marvin, it would be good for you to have a kind of a baseline knowledge here within North Kildonan and Mennonite Church of the congregation's competency of learning and of their knowledge. What if we would evaluate the knowledge here in this church, knowledge learned of each person? So let's say over the next couple of weeks, Marvin, you could evaluate the congregation's knowledge of, well, let's say, of their scripture and how well they know scripture, or of discipleship and how they follow Jesus Christ in their life, or of mission and their connections to the community and beyond, or of leadership and what leadership means. Well, that would be an interesting exercise, I think, at least it would be, but I guess we would first have to determine what are we actually testing and what are we looking for. Well, just a couple of things. What we could expect people to know, well, the Lord's Prayer would be important, don't you think? That would be at least a good baseline knowledge of understanding. That would be an important place to begin. What else? Well, I think Psalm 23 is an important text. That would be good to know, and I'm even sure, very sure, perhaps, that many of us know that off by heart, that psalm. Well, what about the Ten Commandments? Perhaps they should also would be something that we would measure and know. That would be something that we should even know by memory, isn't it? And if we had more time, we could maybe go through the Ten Commandments. But that's something that we can probably expect from, I'd say, a 10-year-old in the church. A 10-year-old might be able to tell us those things. But the Ten Commandments are not the only things that the Bible, or the commandments of the Bible. They are the biggies which Moses passed down to the people at Mount Sinai. But what about all those other laws that are included in the Old Testament or in the Torah? And there are 613 commandments told, and they are recorded as absolutely essential for proper behavior and proper conduct, proper living. But I don't know of anyone, at least I sure don't, know anyone who can recite 613 commandments. Do you? I'd be lucky if I could get 50 of those. But I can hear you saying, well, those are Old Testament rules. We live in the New Testament era. We live under the teachings of Jesus, right? Our text today begins with Paul's command, in fact, to have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ. Wow. Now that's a big, big task, isn't it? How are we to have the mind of Christ? Is that by memorizing Scripture? By knowing what Christ thinks? By knowing Christ's mind? So how many things, we might ask, did Jesus command? How many commandments did Jesus issue? Well, I don't know exactly, but I think there are many. In fact, one person wrote a book and called What Jesus Demands of the World. And in that book, he went through the Gospels, the four Gospels. And within those Gospels, the teachings of Jesus came up with 500 commands to live by. And then he put them into categories of similar nature, and there's 30 chapters in his book. And so forth. You see, now it's getting really hard, isn't it? But here's the hard thing. Jesus didn't say, teach them everything that I've commanded you. Jesus says, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. That's huge. We are not just to teach content, you see. We are to teach behavior and action. The job isn't done when we've learned everything and when we've put it in our memory bank and when we've stored it in our minds. No, we are to have the mind of Christ, to think and to live as Christ modeled, and to put them into practice and to put them into our everyday living. In our relationships with one another and in our conduct with one another and in our behavior with one another. In fact, Paul's words are, do nothing from selfish ambition or even conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Look to the interests of others first. You know, it would have been much easier if Jesus would have said, just memorize my commandments, put them into your minds or memory banks, store them there, because you'll be tested on them later. I think that would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it be? No, not for memory's sake, but for the sake of Christ. We are to take on the same mind that Christ Jesus modeled. For this is the command to those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And the job as leaders or as pastors, as parents, as disciples of Jesus Christ for all of us is to not only hear these sayings, not only to memorize them, but to put them into action and to live them every day of our lives. We are to live them out and to model them in our life. This is what marks us as followers of Jesus Christ. Does it sound light to you? I think this is heavy, heavy work. It demands a highly disciplined person who can take on this kind of attitude in their life. And if this is Marv's job description, then this is really hard. It seems like a crushing burden, in fact, doesn't it? I can just tell by the looks on your faces that this is really heavy. But Jesus says, let me offer you a bit of a secret. One of the ways that we can live lives of faithful obedience, as Jesus modeled, is by abiding in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. It's incredibly important to listen to God, to believe, to be humble in things, to put our interests second while putting others first. All of those things are incredibly important for us. I think that what we need to remember, in fact, critically, is that we abide in Jesus. You know, it's difficult to get up one day and say, I'm just going to start putting others first. Or, I'm just going to start forgiving people that have wronged me. It doesn't happen that way, does it? All of that's great, but if we take that approach, we'll be crushed simply by the weight of guilt that comes over us so quickly, and the good news becomes anything but good. We will just experience Jesus as another lawgiver who just gives us a bunch of new rules to live by. But Jesus says, live these. And Paul exhorts us to live what Jesus commands. You know, we have all kinds of expectations within the church. And the expectations of pastors is certainly one of them, as well as pastors have expectations on congregations and how they live and live out their faith. But how do we do that together? Let me close. I think this is important for us as a church to remember, how do we discern living in Christ? And how do we follow Christ in that? How do we work at that? Let me say, I think we do that through times of worship together, as you are doing, we are doing this morning. Through listening to music together. Through singing together. Singing together. Through times of prayer or times of meditation. Through work and play together are important. We do that through remembering our past and dealing with it, and also our identity as a people of God. We do this as we open ourselves to listen to God's Spirit and have conversation. And we do that as we gather around the Lord's table and as we experience the grace of God and we eat and we commune together. We live it. We take it. Jesus' words. And if we think that we can become more spiritual by being good on our own or by listing more commandments or being better moral people, then Jesus says, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. You're going at it backwards. For the key is abiding in Jesus and discerning the mind and the ways of Christ Jesus for our lives. Marv, you've been called to be the pastor of North Kildonan Mennonite Church. And I believe that you've been chosen to come and to lead this congregation and people not because of your outstanding wisdom or because you are the one true model that people can live by, or even because of your maturity of faith. Maybe, but secondly. But instead, I think you've been called to come alongside, invited to come along with people and to join this community of people, to walk alongside them, to be present in their everyday highs and their everyday lows. And you are called to abide in Christ and to take on a servant-like attitude in all your relationships and to remind us of God's reign and God's love in their lives and in the life of the church. I think as we do that together, you for the congregation and the congregation to you and one another, then it is through God's grace and God's Spirit that we are transformed as a people. And we live in that servant-like attitude and servant-like way. And we give way to Christ. And I pray that God's grace and peace will be with you as you serve this congregation. And together as a people of God, as North Kildonan Mennonite Church, that you will be united and join in spirit and in love to serve God, to serve one another, and to be a part of mission in our world. Trust it. Love God fully and act on it, believing what Jesus has modeled. For this is God's hope, and this is God's desire for us. Amen.
installation at this time, and I'll ask that the people involved join us here.
Good morning. I have to look at my watch because it's almost afternoon, so almost good afternoon. There is an insert in your bulletin as well for this installation service, so maybe get it out and make it handy, because there are a few parts that I'll ask you to participate. I think it's very appropriate that today is Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I know I have many things to be thankful for, and I think one of them I can add to the list today, that I'm thankful that God has brought us, Marv Thiessen, to our congregation. As a church, we have called Marvin Thiessen to walk with us as our pastor. After careful consideration, he has accepted our call as a call from God. Today we want to install Marvin Thiessen as our pastor in the name of the chief shepherd and pastor, our Lord Jesus Christ. From your insert. We are here today in the presence of God and this church to install Marv Thiessen as pastor of this congregation. Who presents Marvin for this installation? Present Marvin Thiessen, believing that we have been guided to the Spirit of God, we have chosen Marvin to be our minister. In commending Marvin for this ministry, will you also uphold him in it? We will stand by him in this calling.
Marvin is also an ordained minister, ordained within the Mennonite Church, and Marvin comes to you as an ordained minister, of which Mennonite Church Manitoba holds his credentials in that way. So let me ask you, Marvin, seeing that God, by his grace, has called you into the pastoral ministry, that North Kildonan Mennonite Church has felt the leading to call you into its leadership, and that you are about to enter into a covenant relationship with its members, I ask you the following questions. Do you hold to the promises you made at your baptism and ordination?
I do.
Do you believe that this calling and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Will you seek to be faithful in prayer, in setting forth the Scriptures, and seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation?
I will.
Marv, today we covenant with you to be partners in ministry. The charge we give to you becomes a charge to all of us, for we are all members of one another. As you exercise your gifts of equipping us and those whom you will interact with, we will also exercise our Spirit-given gifts. Together, as servants, we commit to you our support that you might freely exercise the responsibilities we have entrusted to you. Our prayers, our guidance, and our encouragement will be offered to support you. In our ministry together, we want to fulfill what God has called us to do. We earnestly desire that all of whom you will serve, that you will be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Christ Jesus, by which all authority in the church lies, and through the covenant that we share together as congregations of Mennonite Church Manitoba, it's a delight for me, Marvin, to install you as lead pastor of the North Kildonan Mennonite Church. May the love and the peace of Christ and God's abiding spirit of peace be with you and bless your ministry together. God's blessing be upon you.
Well, this is the moment that has been the subject of much thought for the last few days. And if I say all the things that I've thought about, we're going to be here for a while. So I'll try not to do that. Your former pastors have spoken good things about you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that they've had an experience in your congregation that has been good. And so we come together in this, though not really knowing very much about each other. You've heard my story, you've responded positively to it, you have said, come and be with us as our pastor. And I've said yes to that. And you probably have some ideals in your mind, some things that you think I'm going to be and do. And I guess I have some ideals too. We're not going to quite reach up to those, I fear. But I think we can together worship and serve and follow Jesus. When the children's story was being told, I got to thinking about shoes in all of this. When Canada's finance minister brings a new budget every year, wears a new pair of shoes, doesn't he? And they're supposed to symbolize something or other. And then in the children's story, we were told about how somebody wears Queen Elizabeth's shoes in advance. Well, I picked up a pair of shoes that somebody wore in advance for me for this occasion. The last time that I used my black dress shoes in a worship service, something that I didn't do all that often over the last 7 years, they decided to give up the ghost. They just split apart. And so I was in a quandary, because I don't really want to go to a fancy store and buy an expensive pair of shoes. It goes against my nature. But I was working in my previous job, as you know, at the Selkirk Avenue MCC Furniture and Thrift Shop. And one of the days that I knew that there was a problem here, I talked to the ladies upstairs who were going through shoes, and they said, here, well, how about this pair? And they were nice shoes. They fit beautifully. Somebody has worn them, made them work well. And so I bought them for much less than if I'd gone to another store. And so that fits a bit as my character and nature, and I'd like to think that it says here at the outset that I want to be here as a servant, as one who cares about you and walks alongside of you, and that we'll get this together.
And I have the joy of presenting Marvin and Cheryl with a prayer quilt and a prayer shawl on behalf of the Prayer Shawl Quilt Ministry and our entire church. And I'm just going to read your prayer blessing that we prayed on those. May God's grace be upon this quilt and shawl for Marvin and Cheryl, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May these mantles be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May you be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Blessed be.
Just my colors, I think.
I would now invite all of you that want to lay hands on Marvin and Cheryl to join us up here. This time for the prayer and the blessing. Come a little further. God, you have loved us into your family, your story, with an overwhelming and affirming love. Thank you for the way you have called us to be the church, built on the foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ. You call your people to service through the church. Thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. Today we thank you especially for the call to pastoral ministry. We ask that you would bless the covenant that has been formed today between Marvin and this congregation. Help us to remember to turn to you as our source of strength and our vision. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bind us together with a bond of peace. And now, Marvin, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, Make it complete and everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight. To Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today we want to join together in celebrating the communion. First, a couple of announcements. Those of you who prefer grape juice over wine, when the wine is served, the center, and you will see a different coloring, that is grape juice. The rest is wine. So please be aware of that. Those of you who have gluten intolerance, when serving the bread, in the center, there are gluten-free crackers. You are invited to use those then at that time. This is a symbol that we stand here together. I'm passing on what you have charged me with to Marvin at this time. I'm okay. Let us pray. O God, your steadfast love has been ours for generations. Through Christ you have brought us out of the abyss of death and into the light of eternal love. With joy and thanksgiving we proclaim our salvation, remembering Christ's death and resurrection until he comes again. As we break bread and share the cup together, may Christ be present with us, and may the Spirit bind us together as Christ's body in this world. Amen. On the day Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, he took a piece of bread, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, and as often as you eat, remember to proclaim the death of Christ and his resurrection." In Jesus' name, let us serve the bread. As everyone who wants to receive the bread received the peace, then let us eat together. This is the body of Christ.
As we continue in our remembrance of the Last Supper, we remember the blood of Jesus. The wine or the juice symbolizes for us the blood of Jesus. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.' And so we take the cup as a symbol of the blood of Jesus. We drink it remembering the blood of Jesus given for us. And so as the cup is served to you, take a cup, a glass of juice or of wine, and hold on to it until all have received, and we say a prayer of thanks together. So we'll ask our servers to join us.
The Blue Book.
Have all received the cup. Let us pray then. Gracious God, we thank you for giving us this cup, your sign of the blood of Jesus, poured out for our healing. May all who taste this wine drink from the cup of salvation. Amen. Join with me in prayer as we conclude. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the communion of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now as you go, hear these words of blessing. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Just one announcement before we sing our closing hymn. When you go downstairs, there's always time on the stairs, right? That gives you time to sign the membership certificate back there. So before you go to the stairs, please take the time to sign up front there in the foyer. Thank you.
So if you would like to stand and open your book to 86, we'll sing one verse of Now Thank We All Our God, which also will be our prayer and blessing for our meal downstairs, which I hope you're all coming to join us for.